As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton. The real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
B. Mitch and Finley here on 106.7 The Fan. We're always live and free on the Odyssey app as well. Linnell Willingham, Toby Altizer sitting in for the fellas.
I thought I was working with Darius today.
It's good. It's very good. Who was that? Was that the ticket winner? If that was a ticket winner, revoke his damn ticket.
No, it was Matten Stafford.
Oh, it was Matten Stafford.
Yeah.
It's not that Matten Stafford.
It's Matt Stafford. Do you know he went to high school with Clayton Kershaw?
Really?
Yeah. Only heard that about 1,500 times.
Somehow we go from that to this. Talking all things Commanders draft. 6 days away from the start of the NFL draft. Toby, I believe me and you anchor in our draft coverage over on our sister station, the Team 980. So you make sure you keep it locked all day on April the 24th. Coming up for the NFL draft.
Excited about it. Yeah, we got to make our own mock drafts so we can see who is worse at mock drafting.
I'm the best mock drafter you probably know.
I know I can get one right. Cam Ward. After that, I have no idea.
Yeah, still some debate about what's going to happen at the top of the draft when it comes to the quarterback position, something that we'll continue to monitor when it comes to the Washington Commanders. Make sure you keep it locked, though, on the Fan all afternoon long. We're giving away Caps Game 1 tickets today every hour at 20 minutes past the hour up until 5:20. Your next chance to win is in about 15 minutes, so make sure you keep it locked on the Fan. Right now, what we're asking you on the phones at 1-800-636-1067, what does Washington have to leave the draft with? Sunday when you wake up and you're looking at all the draft grades from all your draft pundits, all your favorite draft pundits, what are they going to be saying about the Commanders if they don't select this player, this position? I feel like edge. I'll give the easy answer. They need an edge rusher.
It's the answer, by the way.
100%. I think it's the answer for sure. My question is, how do they choose to address edge? Do they go with the depth that's at the position and wait till maybe day two to go edge, or do they hit it on day one? That's the question to me. And the one thing that I continue to get annoyed with throughout the process is like falling in love with prospects and then hearing other guys kind of like poo-poo on them. Like at the beginning of this thing, I looked at James Pierce, and I still feel this way. I think James Pierce is probably the second best pure pass rusher in this class behind Abdul Carter. But for you, Toby, when you hear things about his character and the motor doesn't run hot, I almost, and I'm going back and forth on this like I have with a lot of things in this draft, I almost feel like, man, I think Washington's built the type of locker room environment, the type of culture to where they now can course correct a bad apple, so to speak. If James Pierce is that. That's not a problem you want to have, though, as an edge rusher. Not having your motor run hot. Because if you're not going to chase the ball, if you're not going to pursue, you're going to get yelled at by the fans and be compared to Chase Young, and then I'll have to defend you. I'll have to defend you against my reputation.
Yeah, I think that's where it gets intriguing, because I feel like this team has created a culture that now you can bring in guys with maybe questionable backgrounds, whatever it may be, whether it's off-the-field stuff, whether it's effort stuff, and you feel a little bit better. Before, please don't, right? Like, please don't even bother, because there's problems inside the building, much less having to deal with someone coming in that already has issues. But I think you've built something now that's strong enough that you can overcome that. I don't know, though, that they're the type of front office that is willing to take that risk right now, because look at the guys that they drafted last year. They didn't draft guys with any off-the-field issues.
All captains.
And they drafted all captains, right? So I don't know if that's going to be the case, but I think that they could go that route. The thing that you hit on, though, that I think is so spot on is if they don't walk away with an edge rusher, I do want to hit on another position here in a second, but if they don't walk away with an edge rusher and you're walking into the season with this being your depth chart at edge rusher, Cleland Farrell, Dorrance Armstrong, Dietrich Wise, Jacob Martin, Javonte Jean-Baptiste, they still have Andre Jones. If that's your edge rusher group, they're not a bad group, but there's no one that gets me excited there, except for Jean-Baptiste, I think, can maybe turn into something. I think what you have here is a bunch of, at best, number two edge rushers, probably more so rotational guys, with the exception of, I think, Armstrong can be a starting edge rusher. And the issue I have then is you don't even have somebody in development that could maybe become someone really good, aside from Jean-Baptiste.
That's it.
But he's
that to me is the hidden gem of this entire pass rushing unit to me.
But what's his ceiling?
Javonte, his ceiling may be a perennial 10 sack guy. That's what you need here.
I don't know about that.
Last year,
he's a solid player. He's a seventh round pick for a reason. I like him. Don't get me
wrong.
He's
got traits. He sticks out like a sore thumb when you see him on the football field.
I like him. I mean,
fingers touch his kneecaps. I love it.
He came from two big time programs, Ohio State, Notre Dame.
That pump out edge rushers.
Yeah. I just don't think that he's going to be someone that, look, I don't want to bank on it. Let me put it that way, okay? If he turns into that awesome, I don't think the percentages are high. I think if you can walk away, though, from even if it's not a first-round dude, like a second, third, fourth-round guy that you feel like you can develop into, even if it's just in that same sort of bin, yeah. I think you need something more than just saying, like, hey, we're rolling with Dietrich Wise, and we're rolling with Jacob Martin, and we feel good about Dorrance Armstrong, like, there's nothing exciting about that. Nothing feels like you're building there. I think they have to walk away with an edge rusher. Even if it's not a first-round pick and a guy that maybe turns into a stud, they have to walk away with someone that they feel like they can at least develop into a starting edge rusher.
Yeah, I feel that way as well. I think the thing about this edge rush class, which is good, I'm not pressed to go low character guy at 29 because he's got traits. Because I do think this is a deep class, right? Like, there's day two and day three guys that I really like Jack Sawyer out of Ohio State is somebody that I think can come in here and start from day one. Nick Scorton from Texas A&M, Landon Jackson from Arkansas, guys that they've been pretty active with in the process that I know can come in here and compete for a spot day one. Here's the thing, though. I wouldn't be upset if my edge rushing pair in week one is Dorrance Armstrong and Javonte Jean-Baptiste. I don't know if it's just me. I have an affinity for the kid. I think he has a real chance to turn into a double-digit sack guy. He's got ridiculous traits. He played the run well. Did you just forget the big sack that he had on Monday Night Football against Joe Burrow?
He's a good player,
man. Do you forget
man.
The big sack that he had against Lamar Jackson before he got hurt in that game?
He's a good player.
I think Charlie can play.
He's a good player. I'm not at all against Javonte Jean-Baptiste. I also, you have to be real, he was a seventh rounder. And I'm
take the draft tag away from him for a second. Just go based off of what you saw from him last year. If you didn't know he was
he showed flashes.
Third round pick,
but I can't
fourth round.
But
pick?
Again, I don't want to bank on it. If he turns out to be awesome, great.
But you have to at some point trust what you have drafted and developed in house.
Absolutely, but that doesn't mean that you just pass on edge rusher because you're going to bank on Javonte Jean-Baptiste. Like I believe in him. I think he can be a rotational, maybe even like a number two defensive end. I think that he can do that. I'm not going to bank on it. I think where we're arguing here is you believe that he's getting close to being there.
I'm higher on him than anybody, clearly. And part of it is because I don't know.
I like him too, but I just think to me, you need to get someone else in the fold with a little bit more pedigree that you feel like you can for sure develop into it. And if you found a diamond in the rough, let's go. Like, I'd be fired up. I just don't want to count on that. I don't want it to be going into this season. If Javonte Jean-Baptiste and Dorrance Armstrong are your starting defensive ends week one,
you'd be upset.
That's not enough.
It may be more of a possibility than you're even giving it a chance of being.
No, it definitely could be a possibility.
Like, that could be their starting defensive end.
I would much rather see Javonte Jean-Baptiste get a chance than Cleveland Farrell. I think Farrell's fine.
Farrell was the injuries last year with Clee, I think, definitely impacted the production. He had a sack in that Falcons game I was watching, by the way.
I mean, he's a fine.
So I may be a little skewed when it comes to my thought on him. But, like, the edge rush class, I think, is deeper than maybe the fans are aware of. This draft class, Daniel Jeremiah tweeted this out at the beginning of the process. I've heard Todd McShay second it as well. Picks 20 through 60, you're getting a similar caliber player. So that speaks to the trade down. But some of the day two, day three guys at edge are super interesting. Like, fans out there, some of these names I'm about to pop off here, go look the highlights up. Go search these dudes up. Look up stats. Look up highlights. They can play. Q Robinson out of Alabama, a little bit undersized at just 250, but I like him as a potential late day two, day three guy. Jack Sawyer, I just mentioned, love him. Braden Swinson out of LSU. You saw the last Tiger you drafted, turned into the damn rookie of the year. So maybe you should just go from that well. But David Walker out of Central Arkansas is a guy that I really like, another guy that's kind of undersized that comes in and fills that Dante Fowler role. The advantage that I think Washington has here is they've created enough depth at defensive end to where the guy that they're drafting doesn't need to be an every down player. I don't think that they're drafting a first and second down guy. They're drafting a guy that's going to put his hand in the dirt and go chase the quarterback. And I think with that being said, if that's going to be the criteria, maybe you don't have to take it at 29 because there are guys that have the pure pass rushing traits, but maybe aren't as strong at the point of attack against the run. Because I think you added your run stuffers this offseason. Adding Dietrich Wise, like, that to me, I'm circling that as like my free agent signing that I think moves the needle for this team.
Yeah, I mean, that
to me is it.
That's a run stuffing kind of move. You're hoping that maybe Kinlaw can be better than he has been historically against the run. But yeah, I mean, they've made some moves for that. I'm not sold.
For sure.
Put it that way.
1-800-636-1067. What do the Commanders have to leave the draft with? Skip is in Vienna. What's going on, Skip?
Hello?
What's up, Skip?
What's up, Skip?
Hey, I love the show and both of you. It's NFL draft time, damn it. Talk draft. You guys are doing a great job of it. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
I think what I want to see, and I think this is fairly simple, but I don't care what they do as long as they draft a difference maker. I want somebody that comes out there and gives them some real competitive advantage. If it's Connelly at right tackle, that really improves the running game, which broke down with a lot of injuries last year, that's fine. A great cornerback, a wide receiver, a running back. I think any of those, as long as they're really good players and make a difference, I'd be happy with. I just don't want to see them trade out and get nothing because I think they've got holes on this team and I think they have needs.
For sure. No, yeah. I agree totally.
And I think that's a good point that he brings up because sometimes we fall in love with this idea, and I want them to trade back for the record, but sometimes we fall in love with this idea of quantity of picks versus give me the quality player. Like if you get a blue chip guy that you think you can have that difference maker that he's talking about at 29, even if someone gives you a better offer than maybe you were expecting, maybe just take the difference maker because it doesn't necessarily help you to have guys that are depth dudes. I think you would much rather have it so that you are going to have people that can actually make a big-time difference. I think you would much rather have that.
For sure. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. I think the trade-back conversation is fascinating because it's sports radio is built off of hypotheticals, right? Like we
of
get
course,
it.
Yeah.
This is the ultimate hypothetical conversation, talking about trading back. Because there are certain scenarios you would look like a damn fool to trade back if
Mike
Green is on the board for Marshall at 29. He ain't trading back.
Instead of picking Chris Olave or Kyle Hamilton, you end up with Jahan Dotson.
Right.
We've seen it.
Exactly.
Right? Like, remember a couple of years ago, we felt good about that. You're like, you got Jahan Dotson and Brian Robinson
and Sam
quarterback in the future, Sam Howell.
Come on.
And look at where they're at now. We're like, you know what? They'd be better if they had Chris Olave, which hopefully he can stay
healthy.
They
had Kyle Hamilton.
He can really play. But my gosh, if they had Kyle Hamilton, right?
Like it changes the whole conversation and the whole dynamic of the team, 100%.
So to me, the thing that I think that they need to walk away from outside of talking about edge rusher is I think you have to walk away with a running back. I think you do. It doesn't necessarily have to be an early running back, but I think back to a couple of years ago, I remember people leading up to the 2023 draft. You remember this? Everyone was talking about how good the tight end class was. Everyone was telling you about how good the tight end
This is also a good tight end.
Bucky Brooks was talking about this, just looking back in 2023. Maybe this is Lance Zierlein, actually. Mm-hmm. Had said that the top two positions were corner in that draft, and number two was tight end. And Washington going into 2023 was going to be starting Logan Thomas as their tight end. And so you're like, okay, this is a position that makes some sense. Some of the guys that were drafted, Dalton Kincaid, Sam Laporta, Michael Mayer out of Notre Dame, Luke Musgrave, Luke Schoonmaker, Brenton Strange, Tucker Kraft.
It's a good class.
Darnell Washington, even getting later on, Davis Allen is a fifth-round pick that's made some impact. Who did Washington draft? Zero tight ends. Yeah. They drafted Emmanuel Forbes, Quan Martin, Ricky Stromberg, Braden Daniels, KJ Henry, Chris Rodriguez, and Andre Jones. Yeah. Very forgettable class. And I think Ron was, I don't know what Ron was doing, but to me, a loaded running back class where I don't say there's a glaring hole at running back, but there's a hole at running back. Walk away with one of the running backs.
Yeah, I think you have to, like you said. But the more and more I think about it, because there's such supreme depth, and we're bragging on the depth of the class, how much sense does it make to take one early? If you know you can get a quality guy in the fourth or the fifth, does it make sense to spend your richest, most premium draft capital on a position that, quite frankly, is not that impactful? Here's the other thing that I think we're totally sleep on when it comes to the run game from last year. The offensive line struggled down the stretch and got blown off the ball consistently. So maybe if there were more holes created, maybe, just maybe, you run the ball a little bit better, a little bit better. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Right now, be caller number 9 to 800-636-1067 to win a pair of tickets to Game 1 for the 2025 playoffs with the Washington Capitals. Monday, April 21st versus Montreal at Cap One Arena. For tickets and more event information, visit thefandc.com.